Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be kept safe. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Thank you, Mike. Our second reading this morning is the very familiar 23rd Psalm. This is on page 862 in your Bible if you want to follow it along. Excuse me. I'm going to give it to you in the version that I have memorized, which is actually a mashup of a couple different translations, but it's one I like. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." I knew this would happen too. What's the next line? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." This ends our reading of Scripture for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. As always, when God speaks, those words are true, and we can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For as long as I can remember, anniversaries of most any sort, but especially those that I have some personal involvement in, have been very important to me. This September, for example, Lorna and I will arrive at our 49th wedding anniversary, a day that will largely be a celebration of her extraordinary patience with the likes of me. And I wish that weren't so true, but it is. For a very long time now, New Year's Eve has marked a particularly meaningful anniversary for me every year. In fact, there was a year, a period, maybe 25 years ago or so, maybe 25 years ago, when for me, New Year's Eve was actually surpassed Christmas Eve as an important holiday in my own calendar of holy days. I've never been much for New Year's resolutions, but New Year's Eve often has called me to reflect on the year that was closing, to evaluate my successes and failures, the blessings gained and those I had perhaps failed to see in time. And then I would often turn to contemplate what the year ahead might bring. I would wonder what the coming months might reveal. And how I could best nurture and hold on to my dreams. Because that's what the poet Langston Hughes had told me to do. "Hold fast to your dreams," he said, "for if dreams die, life is a broken winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams go, life is a barren field covered in snow. Now, I doubt that anyone else noticed, but last Sunday, thank you. Last Sunday was my first anniversary serving as your pastor here in Mazamani. It slipped my mind too. I didn't remember it until maybe a couple days before last Sunday. And my first thought was, when I did remember this, my first thought was, how in the world did a whole year go by in what seemed to me to be no more than maybe 3 months? This particular holiday, or I should say holy day, along with the celebration of my 74th birthday 2 weeks earlier, has really set me to pondering a lot. I am wondering, among many other things, how I can most faithfully live out my vocation as both your pastor and as a minister of the gospel in the time and with the energy that I have remaining to me. Both of those are seriously reduced right now. And because a good part of what I have been thinking about involves this congregation, I thought it might be useful to share some of my pondering out loud with you. So this morning, as I am holding fast to the promise that the Lord is our shepherd, that we want for nothing, that we shall dwell even as we are now dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, I'm going to let you in on some of what has been racing around in my head. I want you to feel free to respond sometime to anything that I say this morning, maybe over a hot cup at the coffee shop down the street, because I really want to know what you're thinking too. As you know, my contract here in Mazo is for a quarter-time position. That means 10, or very often 12 or more hours a week. And this gives me almost enough time to craft a worship service every week with illustrations, to attend board meetings, to attend to hospital emergencies, conduct funerals when needed, and engage as many of you as are willing in conversations about our life together and about our future going forward. I'm not complaining about any of this, by the way. I knew what I was signing up for when I came here, and I have had few surprises so far. But there is one thing that I have come to appreciate more over this past year, and that I intend to practice more carefully in the coming months, and this is it. When you have a job to do that you generally love, and you have only a very limited time to do that job, it is vital that you home in on doing what is most important. In my career, I haven't always done this, because sometimes, in some settings, with some people, doing what you believe is the right thing can land you in some hot water. So more often over the years, I have done what someone else thought was most important and not what I thought was. But over the past couple of weeks, I've realized that I really am too old for that stuff. So I'm not going to worry about it anymore, at least not as much. And in the future, when we come to some sort of an impasse on some important issue where we cannot agree, I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to try to cover over it. We'll just have to find a way to work it out. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, St. Paul said that speaking the truth in love to each other, and I would add to that for preachers, listening when the truth is spoken to us in love, is how a congregation grows into the mature expression of the body of Christ. And that maturity, it seems to me, is an important and worthy goal for a congregation to aspire to. I've also been thinking a lot over the last couple of weeks about what I said to you at my candidate service the first Sunday in May a year ago now. In that sermon, I offered four promises that would let you know what you could expect from me. I want to revisit these this morning at the beginning of my second year, but with a bit more precision and nuance. First, I promised last year that to the best of my ability, I would ground all my preaching in Scripture. This continues to be very important to me. But how I understand Scripture, what it is, and how we can best read it has changed a lot over the years, and especially over the last few years. Still, reading Scripture faithfully really matters, and I hope to make that more explicit and what that all means in my preaching in the coming months. Second, I promised not to bring raw partisan politics to the pulpit, with the emphasis on that word partisan. I am more committed than ever to this principle, and I will, over the coming months, explain why this is so important to me and why it should be so important to you. To do that, however, I will occasionally need to use some clearly nonpartisan language, nonpartisan but nonetheless political language. I will sometimes fail to do this well, and some of you won't like it. But if we practice speaking the truth in love to each other, I really do believe we can survive our differences. Third, without contradicting what I just said, I told you a year ago, I promised you a year ago, that when rich and powerful business people or politicians use their words or their money to cause harm to the neighbors Jesus wants us to care about, I said, you can expect me to say something about that. I have not done this very well here over the past year, but I am hoping to do it better next year. The words of the prophet Micah are ringing in my ears more loudly than usual these days. What does the Lord require of you? Do justice. Do the right thing. Love, kindness. In the Old Testament, kindness and mercy are the same thing. And walk humbly with your God. You can expect this theme to show up rather often in the coming months. And finally, I offered a collection of less controversial promises that I will be as honest with you as I can be. I will listen to your concerns as carefully and without judgment as I am able. And I will walk with you as faithfully as I can through our dangerous and uncertain present and on into our even more uncertain future. And I promised to shower you until you are thoroughly soaked to the skin with this foundational promise of Scripture, the promise best articulated by St. Paul. Whatever happens around us, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is yours now and always, always will be. You see, I trust this is true. I trust, often beyond what my head believes, I trust in my gut that the all-sufficient grace, the unbounded love, and the universe-wide presence of the divine lives in and through everything and redeems and restores and transforms everything and everyone who ever was or now is or will be in the future. And to this, I can only say, amen. The Lord is our shepherd. We want for nothing. God brings us into green pastures, leads us to still waters, restores our souls. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, We need fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff give comfort to us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen again.